Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. So what I love about these press conferences, coaches do, players do, is the different people that ask questions for different reasons. For instance, if a writer is working on a story, they will ask specifically about whatever it is they are trying to write about. Let's say Joe Rexroad at The Athletic is writing a story on Caleb Farley and about everything Caleb Farley went through and how Caleb Farley's going to try to get back in there and make a difference, whatever, I don't know. But he would ask questions in the press conference, even though everybody's thinking about the Chicago Bears, and we're talking Chicago Bears and everything else, he'd ask about Caleb Farley. When it comes to people like me on the radio, when I ask questions about the opinions that I have or the things that we're going to debate. So, like, if I think that what are most of the questions I asked about during the offseason? Right tackle. And when it comes to the TV people, they get about 2 minutes and 30 seconds a newscast to talk about sports. And that's to fit everything that happened in sports in there in the 2 minutes and 30 seconds. And in some places, I think it might be a little different. Like, I think that it might be a minute 30 now. It might be even less than that. I don't know. You'd have to ask Corey. I wouldn't be sure. And they'll ask questions like, Coach, how excited are you to get ready to prepare for the Bears? Well, we're very excited. This is a big test in week one, and because they're going to stick that right in the newscast. So Paul is very clearly working on a story at paulkaharski.com about winning free agency. We're familiar with the whole winning free agency thing, right? Teams win free agency in March, and they sign a bunch of players. The Jets do this a lot. The Browns have done this a lot over the years. Different teams, they do it. And then it's, oh, man, look at what the Raiders did. Look at what Jacksonville did, adding Christian Kirk and all these other guys. And look at what they did with Calais Campbell. And then sometimes they win, sometimes they don't. And I don't know what stats and metrics Paul has to say either winning free agency does matter or winning free agency doesn't matter. Paul has said many times on record that he feels like the Titans for years lamented the fact that, hey, all these teams celebrate winning free agency and that's not who's holding up the trophy at the end of the year. Because in the past, the Titans weren't always, big spenders. And so he asked Brian Callahan about winning free agency. And I know a lot of people are very, very excited because they say, Jared, we're so much better. Look at the players we've got. Look at what we've added. Snead and Awuzie and Pollard and Cushenberry and Ridley and Diggs and Adams and Ernest Jones now. It's like, Jared, this team's got to be that much better. But I don't think it's so much about winning free agency as what the point of free agency actually is. And this is what Brian Callahan had to say.
We've seen a lot of evidence that free agency winners in March and April mm-hmm. are not necessarily big winners in December mm-hmm. and January. This franchise has been very fond of saying that in, mm-hmm. historically. What's different about this team being a big free agent winner this year in terms of how that's going to play out?
I think it was because I think we've added quality players at a lot of positions. I don't know that we went out and did anything like it didn't feel crazy. I know it was a lot of money overall, but we had a lot of roster patchwork to make do with. And so I don't look at it necessarily maybe as winning free agency. I think we made our team better. And I think we have a young players in core spots too that are really important. And so it's going to be a mesh of those two things, but I don't look at it as a winning or losing free agency. I think we made our team better. It's going to give us a chance to be competitive.
They didn't win free agency. He says they made the team better. And while at first I thought, boy, that's a real politician answer, I actually think that that's the truth. That's the right approach. That's not what people around here feel, because I hear people, they come up to me and they say, Jared, how can you think that we won't be better than we were last year? I mean, look at all the players we've added. I mean, I remember when they signed guys like Ridley and Snead and Awuzie, and it was like, what do you think now, Jared? They're going to the Super Bowl. They're this, they're that. Even last week when they acquired Ernest Jones, I thought the response and the celebration about adding an inside backer, even though it looked on paper to be like a great trade, even I thought that was a little over the top. People around here think that those big names are going to transform the team. Here's the truth. And as is the case almost all the time between the "we're going to the Super Bowl because of free agency" and the "Kansas City didn't win free agency, I bet we'll see them in the playoffs," the truth is somewhere in the middle. The Titans did what I believe teams have to do when they either miss on draft choices or trade draft choices. And that is, you have to buy what you lost in those drafts. And let's use L'Jarius Sneed as the example. L'Jarius Sneed was a 2020 draft pick. If the Kansas City Chiefs had signed L'Jarius Sneed to a contract, it would be similar to the contract that you signed L'Jarius Sneed to. Well, when I hear about, "oh God, that 2020 draft was so bad and that's why the Titans suck," there is some truth to that. But L'Jarius Sneed replaces Christian Fulton. Because if Christian Fulton had been good, Christian Fulton would have wanted a top-of-the-market contract and you would have had to give it to him. So L'Jarius Sneed, again, a 2020 draft choice, takes the spot of Christian Fulton. So now the Titans have L'Jarius Sneed. Lloyd Cushenberry was a 2020 draft choice. Again, you paid him. Isaiah Wilson didn't work, but you've replaced him with Lloyd Cushenberry in free agency. And you're paying Lloyd Cushenberry the kind of money that you would have been okay with paying a starting center or a starting tackle or whatever it may be. You would have been okay with this if Isaiah Wilson had panned out. At this point, Isaiah Wilson and Christian Fulton and all the Darrington Evans, those guys are all off their rookie contracts. Those guys would be on second deals. Tony Pollard. Now, he was a 2019 draft pick, but again, he's in that same age bracket. He replaces Darrington Evans. Calvin Ridley was drafted in 2018, the year that you missed on Rashawn Evans. Even Ernest Jones, he was in 2021, the year that you picked Caleb Farley, the year that you missed on Elijah Molden. So I've always said, when it comes to the draft and free agency, that when you don't have picks, and there are multiple reasons to not have picks, when you don't have picks, either you missed or you traded, the way that you make up for that is to either sell off some more of your own assets in order to get more picks, which is never a good idea, or what's better is to go out and buy the picks that you need to replace the picks that you lost. The only place you lose in this is when it comes to the positions. You can't buy a top-of-the-line quarterback. And we learned this offseason. You can't buy a top-of-the-line tackle. And the other thing when it comes to free agency is you're going to pay top-of-the-market money, literally top-of-the-market. You're going to pay top-of-the-market money for a probably middle-of-the-market player. Calvin Ridley, $23, $24 million a year. He is not the caliber of Justin Jefferson or CeeDee Lamb. Lloyd Cushenberry is not the best center in the NFL. Mike McGlinchey last year, who was a right tackle that you probably should have signed, Mike McGlinchey last year signed for top of the market. He's not an all-pro right tackle. But that's the tax you pay in free agency. And you also can't get a quarterback because Joe Burrow doesn't go to free agency. But Brian Callahan's right. When it comes to this idea that, hey, did you win free agency this year? And what do you make of winning free agency and it equaling wins on the football field? And Brian Callahan says, it's not about, I mean, look, we had a team that had a bunch of holes, and we spent a bunch of money. Here's what's crazy. What's crazy about all of this, when it comes to, again, free agency and the money and all that, it's not like the Titans have a top five payroll in the NFL. It's not like the Titans are up there with Cleveland and San Francisco and Philadelphia, and they're nowhere near those teams. They're a bottom half of the league payroll team. But because they didn't have anybody to pay in 2020, they didn't have anybody to pay in 2021, now that guys are starting to sign deals like Trevor Lawrence, like Ja'Marr Chase wants to sign, now that they don't have anybody to sign from those two classes, and they didn't spend any money last year, the most expensive piece was Andre Dillard, and he's gone, thank God, and they let Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill walk, that's why they had all the money to go spend. And so, again, I don't know what Paul's story is going to say, and I'm not here discrediting Paul's story saying it's not going to be true. I'm actually fascinated to read it because I think there's going to be a lot of teams over the years that spent a bunch of money in free agency who didn't win any games, and I think there's going to be some teams off the top of my head that spent a lot in free agency and turned their team around, i.e. the Jacksonville team in 2017 that went to the AFC title game. But at the same time, to me, the spending in free agency, that's not about trying to build a superstar team. This isn't the Red Sox and the Yankees from the early 2000s. This is about replacing what you didn't pay. You didn't pay Christian Fulton. You replaced it with L'Jarius Sneed. You didn't pay Isaiah Wilson. You replaced it with Lloyd Cushenberry. You didn't pay Darrington Evans. You replaced it with Tony Pollard. You didn't pay Monty Rice. You replaced it with Ernest Jones. That's where the Titans are at. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. A lot of you want to weigh in on this. Speaking of the Titans and free agency and who they went out and got, and there's one guy in particular who I want to see on Sunday, and I want to see a lot of on Sunday. And I think if you're going to win the game on Sunday, it might be because of this guy. We'll do that next. Stillman & Company, 615-737-1025, here on 1025-1063 The Game. And apparently the Titans have a little roster news. They have waived Luke Gifford. And you want to know why they've waived Luke Gifford, Ian?
Why is that?
Because I kept telling you guys before the startup when we were doing all the roster stuff, I'm like, he's making $2.5 million this year.
Too much for a special teamer.
I don't think they want to pay that. So here's what you do. Instead of waiving Luke Gifford last week when teams could, you know, go out and get him, you waive him now while teams are putting their game plans in. They're too busy to think about what they're getting ready to do for week one, and so they don't worry about it. You play against Chicago. Gifford would have been inactive anyways. You play against Chicago because Gifford's a fully vested veteran. And then you sign him before week two, and his whole salary's not guaranteed. That's what I think the Titans are doing. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game. Speaking of the Titans and Sunday against Chicago, be sure to join us live out at Twin Peaks for the return of the pregame show.
Award-winning pregame show.
The award-winning pregame show. Be sure to join us. Me, Chris Sanders, Derek Mason, we as a pregame show, we have two choices, folks. We can get better or we can get bitter. I hope we get better. 9:30 to 11:30 for the pregame show as it's the Titans and the Bears live from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs. And the pregame show is presented by Sundeck Nashville and Parman Tractor and Equipment.
Back when you guys brought in Tony in free agency, was there a particular type of running back you were looking for to fit this system? And how good a fit has he been for what you wanted?
Perfect is probably the best way to put it. Between him and Tajay, they're exactly what we're looking for. They both have the ability to be kind of three-pronged players where they run it very, very well. They're very good in the pass game, and they can protect. And they do all three of those things at a very high level. And so I think we got two backs that I'm really excited to see and use. But they fit exactly what we're looking for in this particular brand of offense. And they both got explosive capabilities. They can both find lanes in the run game. They both run hard, even though they're not gigantic backs. They're big enough, and they run hard enough too, I guess is the best way to put it. They run with their pads behind them, and it's a good group, and they're going to be a huge part of our offensive success is how well those guys fit into the system. And like I said, they're both about as good as I could ask for a fit.
Brian, tell me about what Tony Pollard means to the Titans and this, that, and the other. Well, let me tell you, Tony and Tajay, they're going to be a big part of this. And we want to go to Tony, and we want to go to Tajay, and we want to use those guys, and we wanted this, and we wanted that, and we would no. Those are two separate people, Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears. Those are two totally different people. I was not in favor of the Tajay Spears pick because I didn't think the Titans needed to use a third-round pick on a running back when they had Derrick Henry. And I was in favor of signing Tony Pollard until I saw the Titans ignore right tackle. And then I was like, wait a minute, $8 million for a running back? You don't have a right tackle. And you just drafted a running back in the third round. And so I'm going to say this. I got to separate all these different thoughts, which is, first, I'm all in on Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard last year had statistically probably the worst year of his career. Worst average in his career. Now, he still ran for 1,000 yards, but like Eddie George was running for 1,000 yards at the end, and Eddie was nothing like the Eddie of his prime. But he carried the ball more than he ever has. 250 carries last year for Tony Pollard, had 1,000 yards, catches the ball out of the backfield. But I am convinced, after seeing Tony Pollard in both the preseason and in training camp, I am convinced that Tony Pollard last year was recovering from the broken leg that he suffered in the playoff game at San Francisco when he was with Dallas. So at the end of the 2022 season, they played in Dallas in the playoffs. I don't know if you guys remember, the end of the game, the Cowboys ran some for cock to play where Zeke snapped the ball to Dak Prescott in that game. And TD brought this up on the show last week. It was Aziz in San Francisco that broke Tony Pollard's leg. And last year, Tony Pollard was healthy, but Tony Pollard wasn't the same elite Tony Pollard that he had been at times in Dallas. And I think that was because Tony Pollard, like we see guys with ACLs, Tony Pollard was returning from the injury last year. Well, I think the Tony Pollard the Titans have is the Tony Pollard throughout the meat of his Cowboys tenure. And I don't think Tony Pollard's better than Derrick Henry. But I do think that Tony Pollard is good enough to win within the NFL as your lead back. So the main guy, like the guy that you point to and you're like, this guy, he's in. I do believe that Tony Pollard is good enough to do that. That you can turn around and you can hand him the ball 23 times and you can win. The same way I feel about Josh Jacobs. The same way I feel about, what's his name that was in Green Bay before Josh Jacobs? Aaron Jones. The same way I feel about those guys is how I feel about Tony Pollard. Again, not the same as Derek, but that is how I feel. One thing that makes me nervous about the way the Titans talk about these guys is that every time they talk about Tony Pollard, it's always like, well, we got to mention Tajay Spears. This is going to be a 1-2 punch, and these guys, they're going to be equals, and they're going to be, and I'm like, I don't want them to be equals. Because I don't think Tony Pollard, or I don't think Tajay Spears can bang the ball up in the middle of the defense in the offensive line. I don't think he can run between the tackles the way Tony Pollard can. So I look at Spears, and I'm like, Spears can run the ball, but Spears is more of a specialty back. You run some plays for him. You get him out in space. I think this new kickoff return, I'd stick him back there. And I would not be worried about, well, if you put Tajay Spears back there for the kick return, something might happen. And you don't want something to happen to him, and he doesn't want to. I don't think about it like that. I think about it like I want Tony Pollard to be the lead back, and I want Tajay Spears to get the same amount of reps that he got last year behind Derrick Henry. And you're not going to like that. But that would be my game plan on Sunday at Chicago. Would be, hey, we're going in there, we're going to hand the ball to Tony Pollard. And of all the free agent signings the Titans have made, I think that's the one that gets overlooked. Because everybody knows Snead's starting. Everybody knows Awuzie's starting. Everybody knows Cushenberry's starting. Ridley's starting. Everybody knows that. With Pollard, it's like Pollard and Spears, he's coming in to be part of a duo. Whereas, again, Snead's coming in to play every play. I don't think Pollard should be part of a duo. I think Pollard should be number one. And then if Pollard doesn't get the job done at Chicago, then we'll reevaluate. But I think Tony Pollard's the best player they have on offense. And I want the best player they have on offense to get the ball in his hands. And then, again, that takes me back to Spears. First of all, I also want to see some plays with Spears and Pollard together. Because, again, you get five eligible receivers, and I'd like to see the best five out there. But that's also why on this kick return, I want to see Spears. Because that's where he gets the running start. Their defense can't run. I mean, would it be crazy for a coach to put a bunch of big fat boys out there in front of Spears? So Spears catches it running kind of like arena football when you have the guy in motion who runs through and goes up there and you get guys blocking. And there goes Tajay Spears. That's what I see out of Spears. But as far as being the bell cow running back, Pollard. So I hate this whole, like, well, you know, hey, they're both going to be good. Okay, I hope so. But let's get the ball to Tony Pollard on Sunday. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Andrew says, what do you think is the more likely scenario for the Titans this year? Number one, the Titans starting right tackle changes at least once due to poor performance. Or number two, Treylon Burks misses at least five games. That comes from Andrew. I mean, I think it's probably more likely that Burks misses five games. I hope nobody gets hurt, but I think it's more likely. I mean, who are you going to replace PT with if you were to replace him? One texter says, you rattled off a long list of John Robinson and Mike Vrabel busts when you discussed the Titans signings and free agency. You cannot bring yourself to admit that J-Rob the Holy Cow, I think he means the sacred cow, J-Rob the Holy Cow was terrible after the Vrabel hire. Well, in 2019, they drafted five starters. So I don't think it was all after the Vrabel thing. But I will say, like, when it comes to the decisions that were made with the Titans, I mean, just because I didn't think John Robinson should be fired when he got fired, and I still think he's a good general manager, doesn't mean that I don't think he made mistakes. I mean, I think there were some massive, massive mistakes that were made. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Brian Callahan says, Will Levis is built for this moment that he's getting. This opportunity that is facing Will Levis. Well, what else is he going to say? But what I think Brian Callahan really means, and it's not a bad thing. We will get to it next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.
How excited are you just to kind of see what this product looks like and with Will at the controls kind of running the offense?
Oh, I can't wait. That's that part. I can't wait to see what our team is. You know, I think we've had glimpses of what I think we're capable of over the course of training camp in the preseason. And again, we haven't faced a starting NFL defense yet, and that's okay, other than our own and a little bit of Seattle. But I do think that that's the part that I'm looking forward to, is to see what we are. And that's the exciting part about every season, is you get a chance to learn. Your team's going to grow. It's going to change. And that's the fun process. That's the journey part of it that I enjoy the most. And we got ourselves a journey ahead of us. There's no doubt.
There you go. That was Brian Callahan talking about, hey, you know, we're excited. This is an exciting time. We're ready. We're this. We're that. And so I did laugh out loud because if you listen to Terry's question, he asked about Levis. and he didn't answer anything about Levis. But good on Terry to circle back and ask him about Will Levis.
You've seen from Will that tells you he's ready for this moment.
Everything he's done so far, he's ready for the moment. There's no question in my mind. He's going to have to play well for us, obviously. But just his demeanor, his confidence, his comfort with the offense, all of those things have shown that he's ready to go play football. And I can't wait to see it. And I'm excited for him, too, to be able to show people how far he's come as well. So it's exciting for both of us in that regard.
Good job, Terry. He didn't want to answer the question at first. And so you say, pin him down on Levis, and he says, oh, no, he's ready for this moment. You know, where he's at, I'm excited to go see him. I'm ready to go watch. I'm this, I'm that. What else is he going to say? At first, he didn't want to answer the question when it came to Levis. But then the second time he's asked it, he's 100% in. Again, can we get that first Terry question where he clearly asks about Levis and Callahan doesn't answer it at all about Levis?
How excited are you just to kind of see what this product looks like and with Will at the controls kind of running the offense?
Oh, I can't wait. That's that part. I can't wait to see what our team is. You know, I think we've had glimpses of what I think we're capable of over the course of training camp.
Again, he's like, well, I want to talk about the team. And then it's like, well, but he's asking about Levis. Like he's and I think Callahan knows that. I don't think what Callahan said is exactly what he feels, which is why we have to run it through our coach translator. So what did Brian Callahan mean when he said Will Levis was actually ready for the moment of the big game against the Bears on Sunday?
It's now or never. What are we supposed to do? Start Mason Rudolph? We're invested in Will, and we hope he'll prove he can do it.
Bingo! See, Brian Callahan right there gets up there and says, oh, no, he's ready for this moment. And everything he's done and the way he is about the offense and the this and the that, he's ready to go. He doesn't have a choice. Brian Callahan doesn't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I can tell you which, you know, I could argue either side of this when it comes to Levis, big picture and small picture. I could argue any side of this. The truth is, I don't know. I don't know if Levis is going to be the guy who takes that giant right arm he's got and his big, strong frame and his unbelievable work ethic and puts all that together with his desire to win and throws it out there into being a franchise quarterback, or if he's gonna be a guy who just never, ever makes it one way or another. Like, who knows? No one knows. He doesn't know. Here's what they want to see. It's the same thing you want to see on Sunday. You're going to sit down on the couch. You're going to turn the game on. And you're going to want to see what Levis can do. They're the same way. What they want to know is they want to know, can Levis do what they ask of him originally? You know, that first offensive drive, it's going to be what they ask of him. Their game plan for the Chicago game is going to be what they ask of Levis. And then they're going to want to see, can he do what the game asks of him? And those are two totally different things. Again, I think in a perfect world, if I'm drawing up the offensive game plan, I want Levis to throw it 17 times. I want to run the ball with Tony Pollard, and then I want to run the ball with Tajay Spears. And I want to keep my defense on the sideline, and I want to be able to put pressure on Caleb Williams in his first start. I don't want to come out and just start throwing the ball all over the yard, though I know that's what you guys want to do. That's what the fantasy football people want to do. But then again, there's a difference between what I would ask Levis to do and what the game will ask Levis to do. Because if it's 21-0, if it's 21-0, Chicago, Guy fumbles the ball here. Guy, you know, they get the opening kickoff and they score. You get the ball and Levis gets sacked from behind and he fumbles the ball and they pick it up and they move right down and score. You punt to them, they kick a field goal, it's 17-0, and there's a minute and a half to go in the first quarter. Doesn't happen all the time, doesn't happen very often, but it does happen. It happened last year at Cleveland. It happened against Cleveland at home in 2020. I remember Derek fumbled the ball, and it was like... But again, when the game asks Levis, hey, two-minute drill, you're up there at quarterback, go get it, go win the game. There's nothing Brian Callahan can do. You can't baby him at that point. At that point, he's got to go out there and he's got to go win the game. So again, this is what they're as excited to see on Sunday as you and I are excited to see on Sunday, whether or not he can do it. But all they're going to say is they're going to look at you and they're going to say, yeah, we think he's ready for it. Because anything else would be a massive story and it would be a sign that the coaching staff has a lack of faith in the quarterback. And I can tell you right now, that's the last thing any coach wants ahead of week one. That would be like a hockey coach going to the podium during a playoff series and saying he doesn't have faith in his goalie. Be like a baseball manager saying, I don't really have faith in Johnny, but we're going to pitch him tomorrow in game five of the playoffs. They don't do that. And I wouldn't do that either. That would be like if we had a show on this station that just absolutely sucked. Now, let me state for the record, I don't think any of the shows we do have suck. But if we had a show that sucked, I mean, I wouldn't come on here and say it sucked. Like, I wouldn't do that. This is not the right place, not the right time, not the, you know. And not only that, not only is it because, you know, I'd have to deal with the ramifications of having said that, but it's the whole it's like, what's the positive in that? So he's not going to come out and say, well, let's see what Levis is all about. He's going to say, I believe. Because as we learned with the whole Mariota and Tannehill and Vrabel, and we all learned that once you stop believing, then they'll say, well, you know, it wasn't his fault anyways. One texter says, John Robinson should have been fired after all those terrible decisions. Not after those decisions were made to earn him an extension, then fire him. The amount of people that want to sit here and just... Ian, I don't get it. I understand the Vrabel stuff. I do not understand the amount of people that want to sit back and argue the Robinson fire.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who think J-Rob did nothing good at all for some reason.
And it's like they want to argue it. Again, I mean, the facts are in the guy's first draft, he hit three picks out of the park by drafting all pros in the first, second, and third round.
Sure, like every GM, he had good picks and he had bad picks.
Yeah, but like some of these GMs just have bad picks, like Mike Maccagnan of the Jets. Some of these guys just have bad seasons and losing records.
Oh, yeah. I mean, J-Rob, I mean, and for one thing that he did do that people, I guess, forget about, who fired Mularkey to want to hire Vrabel?
That was John Robinson.
Robinson.
And you guys thought that was a
very great move.
Popular choice.
And it worked out. And it took him to the next level. And so he made that choice. So, I mean, it wasn't just players. He hired Vrabel.
Well, Vrabel's not very popular. I don't know if you heard the first hour of this program. Vrabel is
good decision to do.
I mean, my thing again,
as far as it led to results.
I actually not convinced that that was that big of a deal. The hiring of Vrabel was, I don't think that was as big of a deal. But
I think it took them to the next level that Mularkey could not do.
I mean, they got to an AFC title game. Mularkey got them to the divisional round of the playoffs. Vrabel got him to an AFC title game.
And a number one seed.
Yeah.
I mean, they won 12 games, right?
A number one seed.
Mularkey wouldn't have been able to win
12
games.
That was not, that had their problems. And I think they had their problems in large part because of Todd Downing. And I think that was clearly a Vrabel thing. But again, my whole point is, like, when it comes to Robinson, he won 61% of his games. Like, 61% of his games. You want me to say he sucked. He didn't suck. You can't suck if you win 61% of your games. You can't. This isn't college football where if you win 61% of your games at Auburn, but you never beat LSU or Alabama, you're fired. This is the NFL. I mean, the most average coach in the history of the NFL is in this team's Hall of Fame. What are we talking about here? One texter says, did the Chiefs know what would happen when they put Mahomes in year two after they let Alex Smith go? What's the difference between Brian Callahan knowing what Levis is about and what Mahomes and Andy Reid? Guys, that was an entire plan. An entire plan. Andy Reid did not inherit Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid went out of his way to acquire Patrick Mahomes. And then Andy Reid sat Patrick Mahomes on the bench for an entire year to then develop Patrick Mahomes. Brian Callahan showed up. The owner said to Mike Keith the day she fired the previous coach, the owner said to the fans, we've got a good young quarterback. What does that mean? If you wanted the Carolina job, you had to say you could make it work with Bryce Young. If you wanted the Tennessee job, you had to make it sound like you could make it work with Will Levis. It is not remotely the same. Talking about, oh, they know this, that. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, some of you people are crazy, I'll tell you. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025 here on the program. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063, the game.
7 or 8 months. Now that you finally come to game week, how do you balance still kind of building and putting your imprint versus we got a game to go play and win on Sunday?
You do both. You know, there's no, we're in a production business and a winning business, and the goal and the idea of the plan is to go put one together that can go win, and we expect to go win, and there's really no other way to do it. And then you build the rest of it as you go. And it's a process that you live and learn. Guys grow, their communication gets better every time they play together. The more mistakes you have to fix, usually that means you're growing every time you're getting in the film room. So it's kind of two processes that like run congruently together. We're trying to win games and putting a plan together to go win, and we're still trying to build our football team and build the type of team that we want to be. So both processes are working at the same time.
That was Brian Callahan, and I bet you there is nobody that is more excited about the idea of actually getting out there and playing a game on Sunday than Brian Callahan. Because I'm sure he's, hey, how excited are you for the season? How excited are you for this? How excited are you for that? Are you ready to go with this? Are you ready to, and it's like, let's just play the game. Now, I know that those guys probably feel that way. If you don't win Sunday, then you'll probably wish you was back to the honeymoon period. But, again, and we all want to be optimistic around here. We want to believe that this team's going to win. And so then you won't have to worry about that kind of stuff.
That would be nice.
For whatever that's worth.
A win would be cool.
Any of you guys care about anything except for Vrabel and Robinson? Like, I'm dead serious about this. Does anybody here care about anything except for those two? Because the text line is just loaded up with Vrabel and Robinson takes.
Everyone likes to live in the past.
That's not true, though. Like, I remember one time I was at a Christmas party years ago, and this guy that managed the digital stuff for 24/7 Sports told me. He said, nobody ever cares about what happened. Everybody always cares about what's next. And it reminded me of the day that Mike Mularkey got fired. You know, the Titans went on the road to New England. They lost in the divisional round of the playoffs. And so I was preparing to do a show that Monday about that loss in the divisional round of the playoffs. And then the next day, Mularkey had that press conference where he said Terry Robiskie was staying. And I was prepared to do a show the next day about Terry Robiskie staying on as offensive coordinator and what do people make of that and this, that. And then he got fired. And nobody even wanted to talk about whether or not I should be fired. Everybody wanted to talk about who the next coach was going to be. And it was like, as soon as they fired him, nobody ever wanted to talk about him, never speak of his name, nobody cares anymore, ever, period, move on. Then I look at this, and it's all people saying, you know, well, you know, John Robinson did this, and Mike Vrabel did that, and one texter says, we picked Corey freaking Davis over Mahomes and McCaffrey. That was smart. By the way, I know people get really mad at me when I say this. I actually think the picking of Corey Davis was worse than the picking of Isaiah Wilson. And I've explained this 8 ways to Sunday. People don't listen to it because they're just like, Isaiah Wilson never played. He sucks. But missing on the 28th pick and missing on the 5th pick are two totally different things. Because when you have the 28th pick in a draft, you can't draft Mahomes. When you have a 28th pick in a draft, you can't draft the guys that went in the top half of that first round. And you got Corey Davis, who kind of was average at best when he was healthy. He was like a better version of Treylon Burks. But you drafted him higher than Treylon Burks. One texter says, yes, I would rather talk about the game. One texter says, I guess I'm in the minority, but I'm more worried about whether or not the Titans' defense will generate more sacks than the offensive line gives up. Let me say this. We're in the early stage of the week. So we'll, again, dive more into what the Chicago Bears are supposed to do or not do. I'm not buying the Chicago Bears hype, by the way. Now, I don't want to say I lied to the audience because I didn't lie. I just didn't follow through on what it was I thought I was going to do. Does that count as a lie?
Maybe.
Like if I say, like, yeah, I'm going to go work out today, and I don't work out that day because either something got in the way or I'm a lazy fatty. Like,
well, if something comes up and gets in the way, hey, that's okay. Are we just going to be, you know, not feeling up for it? That's something different.
So I said I was going to watch Hard Knocks this year because the Bears were on it and the Titans are playing the Bears week one. I have not watched Hard Knocks yet. Have not even watched one episode of the Bears Hard Knocks.
I think we can let that slide.
Have you watched the Bears Hard Knocks at all?
I have not, no.
So I haven't watched the Bears on Hard Knocks, which I said I would do. I haven't done it. But tomorrow we really get into the deep dive on the Bears and everything else. And there's a part of me that's like, do I need to stay up the night binge watching Bears Hard Knocks? Is Bears Hard Knocks, was it insightful at all? They would tell you that kind of stuff?
I'm not really sure. I mean, we talked about you didn't like that Caleb Williams was using his handbag.
Yeah, I didn't like that he has a purse.
But I've heard it was okay.
Did you have anybody... Did you watch the Giants Hard Knocks, the offseason one?
No.
Did you hear, other than me, anybody talk about how much they liked the Giants Hard Knocks?
Yeah, I think so.
Did you hear the same type of sentiment surrounding the Bears Hard Knocks?
Probably not, no.
Yeah, see, that's kind of my thing, is like, I haven't heard anyone that's like, oh, you have got to watch the Bears on Hard Knocks, which makes me think that it's kind of like every other training camp Hard Knocks,
yeah,
which is they follow around the number one draft pick, they follow around the coach, there's some, you know, goofball on the coaching staff, you know, Coach Ramrod, you know, Coach Ramrod, he always gets
He's
into
He's so
them.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's always tough as a coach during training camp. But for Coach Ramrod, it's a totally different discussion. And then there's always some undrafted rookie from Nowheresville Tech who is trying to make the team, who usually gets cut like the last week of the year. And they show the coaches yelling at him all the time. Usually it's Coach Ramrod, you know, who blows the whistle and starts yelling, oh, Johnny Johnson, get back in at linebacker. You got to get back to that spot. Yeah, it's tough being away from my girlfriend for the first time and my parents for the first time, and I'm staying in this dinky hotel, and Coach Ramrod's on my ass all day, and that's usually what it is. So, again, but I did say I'd watch it, and I haven't watched it. But as far as the defense is concerned, guys, if the defense doesn't play well, you will lose, period. And I don't care who we're talking about, whether it's the Bears or whether it's the Patriots. If your defense does not play well in a game, you will lose, period. This offense is not ready to go out and win a 45-43 game. They are not. So when you're like, I mean, I hope the defense can get more sacks, and I think that if they can't, you lose. This defense has got to hold Chicago under 20 points. If they hold Chicago under 20 points, you got a shot. If they allow 21, you're going to lose. And I'm going to say that all week because it's true. Chase says, it's not a purse, it's a satchel. Alan from The Hangover.
Yes.
By the way, I never thought that movie was that funny. I thought that movie was funny.
The first one's kind of funny.
I did not think that movie was so funny, oh my God, like everybody else did when it came out. Maybe that's my problem. I don't know.
There's funnier of that kind of ilk, you know, than Hangover, but. Old school, Wedding Crashers, much more
fun. One texter says, Jared, you have watched the Bears Hard Knocks because that's mostly what you just summarized so far. Coach Ramrod? Where did I get that from? I know that I didn't make that up. That Coach Ramrod? I know that's from something.
Super Troopers.
I do know that, but I don't think that's where I got it from. Though that is what I thought of, you know, old Farva. But still, like, I whatever. 615-737-1025. I'm proud. I'm very proud. I'm proud of somebody whose team I don't necessarily root for, but who personally I do root for. And I'm proud of what they did in order to get there. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.